Most of you are familiar with Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, we have the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth, who were the parents of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. And Zacharias was a priest, and the Bible tells us that he and his wife Elizabeth were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of God, and they were blameless before God. And so what a wonderful testimony to have in the Word of God about this couple, because it's a testimony given about them by God himself. And as I mentioned, as we were reading the Scripture, the Bible also tells us that they were both elderly. Zacharias calls himself old. It says that his wife was well stricken in years, and they were childless. They had no children. As a priest, Zacharias was involved in the ceremonies in the temple. And the ceremonies in the temple were given to God's people by God through Moses. And they were things that that were done to worship the Lord. And they were also things that were done to picture what was going to happen. Every sacrifice that was offered in the temple was a picture of that ultimate sacrifice, that sacrifice that was going to take care of sin once and for all. And so, as we're told here in Luke chapter 1, the lot fell to Zacharias to burn incense. And as Zacharias was performing this duty, an angel appeared to him. Bible tells us that this angel was standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and later the angel would identify himself as Gabriel. He didn't do that at the beginning, but only after Zacharias asked the question that he did. And of course, Gabriel was a messenger. He was one of the archangels, but God used him many times to deliver messages to different people. Later on in Luke chapter 1, he would go to Mary and deliver God's message that she was going to be the mother of the Christ child. And so Gabriel appears to Zacharias and he says, "Your prayers have been heard." Zacharias and Elizabeth were praying for children. And I don't know if they were still praying for children in their elderly years, or if God just decided to reach back and answer a prayer that they had prayed earlier. You know, sometimes he does that. Sometimes when we pray and we don't, he doesn't appear to answer. And although I will remind you, he always answers, and sometimes the answer is no. But sometimes he reaches back to a prayer that we've quit praying because we think he doesn't want us to have it, and he answers that prayer. And so this is what he's doing for Zacharias and Elizabeth. He says, your prayers have been heard. You and Elizabeth are going to have a son. You're to name him John, and the two of you will have joy and gladness, and many people will rejoice, not just the two of you, but many people will rejoice at his birth, because your son is going to be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will not drink wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And again, what a testimony that God is giving about this one who's going to become known as John the Baptist. And he said, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And then let me read verse 17. And he shall go before him, go before the Messiah in the spirit of the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so, get the picture. Here's an angel, a messenger of God, that is bringing a message from God to a man of God. If there was anyone that should have believed this message, if there was anyone that should have exhibited faith, and when the angel said, you and your wife are going to have a son, should have said, hallelujah, praise the Lord, it should have been this priest named Zechariah. I mean, he taught the people the word of God. He taught the people the prophecies of the coming Messiah. I'm sure he went in and on occasion shed the blood of bulls and goats and pictured the coming sacrifice that was going to take care of sin once and for all. And he probably, even as a priest, taught the prophecies that are found in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, where the Bible says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And instead of exhibiting faith, instead of praising God that he was going to be a part of the fulfillment of the prophecy of not only the Messiah, but the prophecy of the forerunner, he says to the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? Whereby shall I know this? I'm old. My wife is well stricken with years. We're both well past the time to bear children." And what he was saying to Gabriel was, "Hey, you're going to have to prove it to me. I want you to show me the facts. I want you to explain how you're going to do it. I've got to see it before I believe it." And when a person says, "I got to see it before I can believe it," it's not of faith. Because as we talked about this morning, faith or hope that is seen is not hope. And of all the people that should have had Christmas faith, this one was missing Christmas faith. And I want you to notice what the result was of Zacharias' lack of faith. What was the result? Well, the angel said, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God." Now get the picture. I'm Gabriel. I'm one of the angels that stand in the presence of God. And I've been sent by God with a message of good news to you. Now you didn't believe me. And because you didn't believe me or the God that sent me, you're going to be dumb. Not dumb, dumb, but you're going to be dumb. You're not going to be able to speak. And you're not going to be able to speak until the day that these things that I've told you about shall be performed. In other words, you're not going to be able to speak until this little baby boy that you're going to name John, that's going to be the forerunner of Christ, you're not going to be able to speak until this little baby is born. And because he was dumb, I want you to notice two things. I want you to notice, first of all, that he was limited in how he could praise the Lord. He was limited in how he could praise his God. Now, he could praise God in his heart, and I believe we can praise God in our heart. He could lift up his hands. He could clap his hands in praise to God, but he couldn't lift up his voice. He couldn't sing. He couldn't shout. He couldn't verbally thank God for what was happening and what was about to happen, the coming of the Messiah. He couldn't thank God with his voice that he and his wife were going to play a part in the fulfillment of this prophecy and bear the forerunner, the one that was to go before the Messiah and prepare the way. Again, he could praise him, but it was silently. He was limited in how much and in the ways that he could praise his God. And then he was limited in his ability to share the news. He was limited in how he could tell other people what was about to happen. Now he could share it, but it was a long and tedious process because he couldn't talk. The only way he could share it was to write it down. And you say, "Preacher, how do you know he did that?" Because I know when Elizabeth told the crowd after the baby was born that his name was going to be John, they went back to Zacharias and said, "Is that right?" And he motioned for a pad, and he wrote on a piece of paper, "His name shall be John." And so the only way that he could share with other people what was about to happen, share the good news, was to write it down. I've pictured in my mind him and Elizabeth going home from the temple after he met with Gabriel there as he was burning incense. I can see Elizabeth asking him, "Zacharias, what happened when you were in there with the angel?" And I can see him, you know, getting a little piece of paper and a quill or whatever they wrote with. What would you write first? If you were Zacharias and your wife asked you that question, here's what I think he wrote: "We're going to have a baby." And I'm sure she said, "Who?" And he wrote down, "You and me." And I can picture in my mind her saying, "I don't know what happened in there, but it not only affected your mouth, it affected your brain. You're crazy. How can we have a baby as old as we are? Have you lost your mind?" And I can see him painstakingly writing down what happened, how the angel appeared, what the angel said, his disbelief, and his sharing with Elizabeth the good news that God has shared with him. He could still do it, but his lack of faith made it hard. His lack of faith limited how much he could do in sharing the good news. And my point tonight, I only have one, is that Zacharias paints a picture of what sometimes happens to us in our Christian life. I mentioned it this morning. Our faith, the exercise of our faith, helps us get a good report from God. Hebrews 11:2, the Bible says, and by their faith they received a good report from God. All the ones mentioned there in Hebrews chapter 11. We looked in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. And the objective of every single one of us, every Christian, our objective, our goal ought to be to please God. But sometimes we're missing that faith. We read promises that God has made to us. We hear them, but we never claim them. We never exercise our faith to take them. And our faith, without that work of claiming the promise, of taking the promise, of meeting the condition of the promise, our faith is dead. And if anybody, just like Zacharias, if anybody should have faith to take the promises of God and to claim them and to act upon them, it's us as Christians. Because it was through our faith that we got our sins forgiven. It was through our faith that we've been born again. It was through our faith that we've been made as if we've never sinned. It was through faith that we reserved a home in heaven. And I thought about this verse, a great verse, a wonderful verse. If you don't know this verse, you ought to memorize it. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And what Paul was saying in that verse under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, look, God gave us his son. He delivered up his son to save us. And if he did that, how shall he not freely give us all things? If he gave us his son, you think he's going to hold anything back that's good from us? If he gave us his son, you think he's not going to truly give us all things? If he gave us his son, he is going to answer prayer. If he gave us his son, he is going to meet our needs. If he gave us his son, he is going to give us wisdom liberally if we ask for it. If he gave us his son, he's going to give us strength. If he gave us his son, he's going to guide and direct us. If he gave us his son, he's never going to leave us. And you can take every promise that's in this book that's given to us as Christians, and you can say, if he gave us his son, and he did, to save us,
then how can he not freely give us everything else through him, with him, that he's promised us? He will. We were saved by faith. So let's live by faith. It's the only way that we can please God. If we don't, the same two things happen to us, will happen to us, that happen to Zacharias. Our praise of God will be limited. I mean, we'll be able to praise him for our salvation, but we'll have so much more to praise him for if we exercise our faith to take what he has for us. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I've come to give you life. I've come to give you eternal life. But I'm just not going to stop at eternal life. I want you to have life, and I want you to have it abundantly. And if we don't exercise the faith that God wants us to exercise to live our Christian life, we miss some of the abundance that he has for us. I've told you a story before about a man dying, going to heaven. Somebody's giving him a tour through heaven. He looks and he sees these great big buildings. He says, what are those? And the person that's giving him the tour says, well, come on, I'll show you. And they go into this great big building. It's a big warehouse. And this guy looks around and he sees all these good things, all the blessings of God. And he says to his guide, what's all this? And his guide said, well, that's what God was going to give you, but you never asked him, and you never trusted him, and you never exercised the faith to claim the promises that he had for you in his book. And so we kept them in storage because you never met the condition of the promise. You never exercised the faith. You didn't live by faith. And so God wasn't able to bless. And so we will be limited in how we praise God. We'll still be able to praise him for our salvation. But a Christian, I mean, if we're living by faith, we'll get something new just about every day to praise God for. Every day. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give to all men liberally. We got to be able to praise God every day for wisdom. Every day. Every day. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Every day God supplies our needs. We ought to praise him for that. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Every day we ought to praise him for strength. But we got to exercise the faith to get those things that God has promised. And the more we exercise our faith, the more we'll have to praise him. And then, just like Zacharias, if we don't exercise our faith, we'll be limited in our ability to share the good news of Jesus Christ. A Christian that's living by faith, that's claiming the blessings of God through faith, has more good news to share than somebody that's just saved. Now, if you're saved, you got wonderful news to share. And we all ought to do it. I mean, we all ought to share. Go tell that on a mountain. We ought to tell people how to get saved. We know that because we exercise faith to get saved. But if we're living by faith, we can share the good news that we have a God that answers prayer because we've prayed in faith and he has answered that prayer. If we're living by faith, we can share the good news that God will meet our needs. Because we've exercised faith and seen him over and over and over again meet the daily needs of our life. If we're living by faith and exercising that faith, we can share the good news that we have a God that will guide and direct us in every area of life. Because as we've claimed the promise that he will do that and see him do it as we make decisions and navigate our way through this life, we can share the good news that our God does that. If we're exercising our faith, we can share the good news that God does give wisdom as we ask. And again, just keep going down the list. Think about all the promises that God has made to us, that if we claim them, the more we claim, the more good news that we have to share, the more we have to testify about. Gabriel said, I stand in the presence of God. He sent me unto you, Zacharias, with this good news. You of all people should believe it. But because you didn't, you're going to be dumb and unable to speak until this thing comes to pass. I have a book that came from God. I have a book that came from God. It was written by Him with a message for me and a message for you. A message just like God sent Zacharias. A message of good news. And I can almost hear Gabriel saying to me tonight, and I'll say it to you, you of all people, I of all people ought to believe it. I of all people, you of all people, because we've exercised enough faith to get saved, we ought to believe every promise in this book. And by faith, claim them. Claim them. Claim them. And my prayer tonight is, we'll do it. We'll live by faith, because without it, it's impossible to please Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the many, many promises that are in it. And I pray that we would exercise the faith that you've given us, and we would claim those promises. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight who doesn't know Jesus, that they would exercise the faith you deal to every single person, enough faith to get saved, enough faith to believe that they're a sinner, that there's a penalty for that sin, and that Jesus paid the price when he went to Calvary. And so I pray, Father, if there's just one, that the Holy Spirit would speak to that one tonight. Show them their need for Jesus. And then have them make that decision to receive him. I pray in just a second when we sing, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Christ, they'd walk down the aisle and they'd come and we'll take the Bible and we'll show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Speak to our hearts as Christians. Where we're not living by faith, rebuke us. Show us and help us to do it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.